expedition is a very deep, fine feeling of the heart, of the mind, and of our way of doing things, our behavior, our standards. Keep them, fellows. We have them.
I'll tell you all about it.
The longer you live, and the more you think of your years of Swago, the more the word tradition of Swago is going to mean to you. And it's going to be something that you think about, something that's worthwhile, something that's fine, fine.
Like submarines, got periscopes, like Ollie does. The rope-a-dope, I think your bad breath lady needs a bottle of scope, yo. We got to kick it.
It's like Norman Mailer needs an envelope. Like your fat ass mama needs some cantaloupe. Like Walter White needs an isotope.
We need to kick it. Like the NSA, likes to interlope. Like Billy Crystal, like the guys on soap. Like the mayor of San Diego, who likes to grope, yo. We like to kick it.
Like Nancy Reagan, likes a horoscope. Like Galileo, likes a telescope. Like Mrs. Willenda, likes my thick, tight rope.
We like to kick it. Like your pregnant little sister who's got to elope. Like your boy Buster Keaton needs a skinoscope. Like Dr. Marcus Welby needs a stethoscope. We need to kick it.
It's like the Cardinals, like to meet the Pope. And like the Democrats, like to vote for hope. Like cancers rock the Torah trope.
We like to kick it on the ski slope.
One, two, three, four.
We want the color war.
Want color war, man.
It's color war in the house.
Not on racial grounds, but just on, you know, last week of camp kind of thing, right?
Yeah, well, we are here on the ski slope.
Special Thanksgiving episode of the ski slope.
The website dedicated to the love. And memories shared at Camp Swago in Switzerland.
Shit, I'm going to have to memorize that now.
It's a fantastic opening line.
It was improvisational,
You said it so, like, it was almost thought out, like it was eloquent.
I was freestyling, man.
I memorized it.
I'm going to memorize it now, too. All right, that's going to be our motto.
So this is an interesting podcast here. Here we are. It's a dreary day in New York.
Well, I was going to say it to you. Tonight we have the bunkmates from 1984, the last year of Swago. And I'm excited about this episode because I don't really know what happened in 1984.
I have no idea what
happened. I have no idea. The whole thing ended in 83.
I have this vision of it being just a few people and nothing going on. And them just sort of wandering around.
Right. There's no activities. There were so few campers that they couldn't even play softball, right?
That's what I envisioned.
We'll get to all that.
They couldn't, right?
Yeah, right. It's just like, all right, I guess I'll fly a kite. You know, that'll be second period.
Who was head counsel? I have so many questions.
I have so many questions, too. I know nothing. Which is funny, because Mark is on our canoe trip. I'm sure we've gotten into this with you on the canoe trip. We've probably forgotten what
Mark
the answer
Mark Perlstein is in the house. Just say a quick hello before you...
Show your bunkmate show up.
Hello? I don't think we've discussed this on the canoe trip. We'll have to go through it all tonight.
And that's what the ski slope is for.
All right. Well, Mark, it's good to have you here.
What's up with you?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I was segueing away from you.
Hey, back in the green room.
You go back where you with the rest of the guests. Somewhere, what have you been up to?
I was on vacation last week.
Can you hear it through the headphones right now? Like, are you like plugged in where you can hear?
I can't really hear it that well. I mean, a little bit, but I'm hearing it mostly through my regular hearing. But I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. You were on vacation last week.
So on vacation, a little 4-day stint with the wife. We do an anniversary getaway.
Nice.
Wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm back, and head is in good shape. Nice, clear.
I see your hair is back.
My hair has grown back. Although, you know, I complained about my haircut.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, you know. You should learn that the day of the haircut, you can't be judgmental.
It's a dramatic change from what it was the moment before the haircut happened.
Right, so and the guy, and they always blow dry it. Like,
I don't get blow dry.
No?
I feel like these guys, it's
good. I go to this guy in my town, it's like literally $15. I give him 20. I'm a big tipper when it comes to this.
Thanks, 33%.
No, exactly.
Solid tip.
I always feel like a big man leaving, like, hey, thank you, bro. So, you know, but they do that. They give you the blow dry. They give you the hot towel. They have this machine that massages
you.
Yeah,
the same thing. I paid $40 for it. Right. That's New York prices. Right.
So, and the guy, they do a good job cutting hair. And it's I think it's this.
It's like an upscale men's barbershop kind of thing. Not upscale, but it's like a little servicey. They give you the shoulder massage.
But it's not really, because if downtown Harrison, New York, is a shitty little town. Yeah, it looks like Bayshore, Long Island, for the most part.
Right. No
but
offense.
Anyway, these guys.
No offense to our Oswego people Bayshore, from Bayshore.
Right? I don't think there are any, but just in case there are.
Chris Seeger's from Bayshore.
Is he?
Not Oswego, but yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, my apologies, but you know what I'm talking about.
You're a big listener.
And so anyway, these guys, I think they opened the shop like 3 or 4 years ago. I think they're from Russia. They must be like two brothers and the father.
Right, right.
And they're all good haircutters.
Right.
You know,
right,
like
right.
Each one is as good as the other guy. So I've been going there for a couple of years. They have TVs on there. They have the New York Post you can read.
Men are, I mean, I don't know about you. But I don't know too many men who want to switch those kinds of things.
No, no. Once you find something good,
you just want to roll with
just
it.
Just roll with
the
it.
The last thing you want to do is have to go reinvestigate where to go find. For me, with fit with clothing, like I'm a little long on the sleeves, whatever. Mm-hmm. When I find something that works, I fucking buy it. Like, I buy a lot of it.
I'm that way about everything, though. Yeah. If there's a restaurant I like, or even the place I went on vacation.
I agree.
We won't mention it, right. But I've been going there for 22 years.
By the way, you were bitching about that. I saw the picture you posted about, like, oh, they're blocking my view.
Oh.
So I'm reading page 6, mm-hmm. and I saw that there was a whole, like, picture expose on a model. Who was there? Where you were for Victoria's Secret. I'm like, I can't imagine there was two different ones.
No,
it's obviously
no.
had to be
and
the
it's
shoot
fun,
that
and
was,
it's funny because
that was ruining your vacation.
Really, really took away from it, you know? And it's funny because there's the photo shoot, and then there's like, in the picture, you'll see there's like the 7 or 8 people that are all surrounding the model and doing what they have to do.
Right.
And then about 15 feet away on the side
is
the guy, like the heavy guy who's not part of the photo shoot, but clearly is taking pictures for page 6 or people
right.
or whoever, you know.
Just well, I mean, they have to be allowed to.
It's a public beach. Right. I mean, I was allowed to.
You could go take, right, you took a picture. They can take pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's cool. Vacations are necessary.
Oh, my God, really, they are. And not so much even, like, the vacation itself, but the anticipation to the vacation, because that gives you another 2 weeks or so of, like, all right, it's coming up. Yeah.
I've been talking about my Christmas vacation in my head for now already, and it's
right.
4 weeks away. I'm right. excited to go away. For
anticipation.
A few days.
We talked about this, about the canoe trip, and even this. Like, sometimes anticipation is, you know, even better. Well, not bad. Well, sometimes it's better.
It's fully additive. It's a key part to it.
All right.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. We're excited to have
the boys of 1984. The guys.
They're showing up soon. It's a handful of them, and we're really excited to learn.
We broke out the Blue Yeti today, baby.
We did, so if it sounds a little more, you know, it's a good sound, though. It's one mic that everybody speaks into and picks it up uniformly, but it's pretty damn good.
I think it worked well. Well, you know, we did it at the barnstorming episode of Popkins thing.
Well, that was,
and that was a little tough because of the music. And then we did it for the insurrection episode.
It worked beautifully.
Worked fine, so it should work well tonight. All right.
Glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us on the ski slope.
Evening activity, baby. See ya. All right, we're back. We're live.
We are back, and we've got a couple of guests here who are more concerned about their cell phones going off.
We got Mark Squared
being on the ski slope. Well, it's, you know, we have two best friends.
We got two Marks. We got Maker's Mark.
You and I were best friends at camp.
That's right.
These two were best
that's
friends.
That's just the way to pair it up, man.
That's some synergy. There's some synchronicity.
When did you guys become best friends? Like when did you guys decide you were each other's best friends?
That was junior year. That was a good story.
Junior year. That's early.
Yeah, junior year. My first year in camp.
Can you elaborate?
All right, moving on to the next question.
So this is going to be like,
Tell the story. So Apple was in, I was in the first bunk. What were the bunks junior? What were the junior row bunks?
No idea.
They were C's. Were they C1? Is that what you went up
to? The junior bunks were B's, weren't they?
The junior bunks, the first in the row on the best lakefront view in the
camp. Yeah, they were the Bs.
The best lakefront view in the camp was
right,
the junior bunks.
Do you think we're loud enough on the volume?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, cool.
I said this is some serious detail we're talking about.
Well, you got to tell the bigger stories.
So we got time.
They can cut.
So
no, we don't cut anything, by the way. This is a live thing. It's talk, speak.
Yeah, you didn't become best friends.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything you wouldn't want your children to hear.
Right.
Basically, that's the running.
Yeah, I don't think you can listen to it, but okay.
Anyway, so you guys met when you were freshman early on in junior year. Did you have some event where you guys had a sport? Well, what happened?
Tell the story.
You can jump to it. You don't have to get to the minutia.
So I was with a group. I was a J. So I've been going since 75. And this is, what, 5 years later? It's 80?
77?
That would be 2 years.
78.
No, no.
78.
No.
We may have to do a preamble for this whole show.
Anyway.
No, listen.
Anyway.
78, 79.
Okay. And Applebaum was, why don't you talk about your parents for a second? We have to introduce them into the story.
I'll take care of this. So we're here with two people that we love. One is my brother, Mark Carlston. The other is Mark Applebaum. Mark Applebaum's parents, Sheila and Steve. Well, to Mark Applebaum and Mark Carlston first. One with a K, one with a C. Mark's parents ran the kitchen at Swago for many, many years, as long as you went. Right?
Is it short for Marcus?
It's not.
Okay.
You're not Marcus Applebaum?
which was a discussion.
Although she does call me, my mother calls me Marcus.
Which is pissed at Jim.
Sorry, yeah.
Marcus.
Yeah. So Mark, we'll ask you some questions about that. You know, we had Tim Brody on recently, and, you know, I know your parents didn't own the camp, but pretty much you were in a very similar dynamic to him. So you guys were there. You were friends from early on, junior year. That's mm-hmm. very early on. And I know you ran together. You and the bunks together from there forward for the rest of the Swago experience.
Right. So Color Withers.
Awesome.
The year of 84.
All right, so let's get into 84, because I think that's
the key, what people want to hear about.
Yeah. You guys are pretty slow on telling that best friend story, too. So,
if you don't mind, I'll moderate your
This is going to go on for 12 hours.
Right.
I hope cautious is a better reason to do it.
So what was the expectation in the wintertime? Because 83 was Lenny and Adam had told that story. So now that summer's over. So are you guys psyched like normally? Is there any hesitancy on your part about being psyched about it?
I think there's psych and hesitancy about being psyched, right? We don't know what we're getting back into, but we do know that all of our group,
coming back, then it didn't matter.
That's an interesting point. So you knew your crew, whatever else was happening, your crew was going
to less.
How big was
your going to be?
Your 8-10 guys?
We had everybody in our bunk that year, 7 or 8 guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. And the same group that had been going for years, you know, like we've all been in the same bunk for...
Right. You guys were my first frosh. Like, not
that
you
weren't there. Were,
like,
they were frosh.
My first year, you guys were the frosh.
Your first year was 76.
Which I think stays with you, like, because they're the youngest campers at the time that you start. So, anyway, there's that.
Thank you.
So we were pumped. We were pumped. We knew everybody was going back. And camp that year was interesting since it was like a reverse funnel. The older kids, there were the most old kids. The bunks were filled the most. And as you got lower and lower, they just kept consolidating groups because there was nobody coming back at that point.
Where were they physically placed? Where were kids located that year?
Junior Seagull, Junior Inter, Ranger, Eagles.
Junior Inter?
Was there anyone in the frosh bunks?
Senior Inter, Ranger, Eagle. No, I don't think they want to be down below Eagle.
Wait, so that was it? Like the lowest group was junior?
There might not have been even juniors.
Yeah, I don't know what they were called. Actually, I don't remember because they're all consolidated.
I'd be curious to. We need to get a new guest on this show. Let me tell you,
somebody who remembers that.
I would like to have on this show whatever kid was starting Camp Swago.
That first year was 84 to 84.
I would actually like to have their parents on, because that would be a better show.
That would be classic, man.
So you're psyched. You get there, and your bunks are full. I guess L8's full. L7's full with your crew.
Who's in L8?
Is that Cautious?
That's Cautious.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got our third of the crew coming.
Now we're here.
All right, we're back. Mitchell Cautious has kindly joined us. Welcome, man.
Pleasure to have you. So the drink of choice here is Maker's Mark and Ginger Ale.
For Mark Applebaum, it's a ginger. So we were looking for the
I had chopped up
root.
Some fresh ginger root. Little to only know that...
You just needed some seeds.
So, quite sufficient.
All right, so before you walked in here, these guys were about to start 1984. I think the last question was, who was in your bunk in L.A.? So with that, continue.
Okay, great.
You can take who was in our bunk? The three of us, Dennis.
Yep. Flip that year?
Yep.
Flip Ryan's still there, okay.
John Rose.
I thought Flip was older than you guys.
Andrew Bergman. And I'm going to say that's probably it.
Yep.
Our counselor was...
No, Ben.
Ben. It's true, Ben Goldman.
Ben Goldman was with us. Sorry, Ben.
Ben Goldman. I mean, it's the same group.
Just Rubber Pearls and Rabbit Jew.
You guys and Ben. Back.
It's our whole group.
Were you guys always in a bunk together? Like, did you travel along for the most part?
So, Cautious wasn't in the bunk junior year.
Yes, I was.
You were next door with Billy.
No, Ben wasn't. Dennis moved.
Dennis was next door with Billy.
Because you guys went up early and moved my bunk out. Right?
No.
You got rid of him?
You were in the same bunk.
Whoa, these guys cleaved you off?
Junior year, you're right.
We weren't even in the same bunk yet.
No, the junior bunks were small, so we were actually in adjoining bunks, right? We were enemy bunks in some ways, actually.
Absolutely.
And there's a level to that. If you're not in the same bunk, if you're in that adjoining bunk, you're closer with those guys than you are with the guys who are like all the way over not sharing the bathroom.
It's competitive a little bit.
It's a little competitive, but it's also homey.
That brings us back to the original question, which was how we became friends. I was in the staff bunk, which was all the way down at the end. Like, I was with a bunch of guys who, he wasn't in our group. But
just
like,
junior counselors?
Oh, you had kids. A bunk in your group that was all kids of staff members?
Staff members. Staff. Like, most of them were from Swatona staff, but it was like, you know, and we it was like the biggest...
Who was that? Regardless of age, you're with them?
No,
they were all our age, just so
tell me, you were with who? You? Grubby, you said. Who Grubby was Grubby? What was Grubby's parent?
What did Grubby's parent
do? I never know. I was
Michael Beckerman.
Grubby Beckerman.
What was Grubby's parent? What did they do?
It wasn't all arts and
nature.
People.
Was he nature guy?
Over at who? Grubby's parents over at Swatter. Yeah, something like that.
Nature.
And who, the people who weren't Michael staff Beckerman. Kids were just complete... You know, a
they're
mess.
Like three staff
kids. So the kids in your bunk who weren't staff kids, but they were
a
reason.
Mess, right? Right. It was like, we were like the leftover bunk, you know.
That's so graphic you're talking about. They weren't on it.
That's so odd that they would have enough of you to actually make a
bunk. And when you were talking about how Dave, you know, spent time, Timmy was talking about that, like, spent time, you know, figuring out who should be where. I don't know how he knew.
Sociogram.
But this was like the worst
bunk. It was not a fully populated bunk. It was like off to the side, and Pearl recognized the diamond in the rough. A bunch of weirdos. There were like people crawling on the walls. And
it really was like that.
Let's pull this guy out.
And Pearl championed my cause. And like, you know, said, I need to get him out of here.
Yeah, which pulled you out.
I called mom and dad.
You know, like how crazy is
that?
I called mom and dad.
And look at this. Look at the effort here.
Wow.
I called mom and dad. Mom and dad called Uncle Dave.
He had his parents call Dave to get you in his bunk.
I think he just made that up.
No. So did you move those? What do you think? Dave's listening to me?
You remember so little, I think this has to be accurate.
Yes. Do you honestly think I was walking up to Dave? I think Apple should be with us and he was just swapping bunks.
Nice. Very good. Very beautiful. Really, you didn't even know him yet. You just sort of...
Yeah, exactly. And he was, you know, they were in the cool bunk, you know? So that was it. We've been friends.
Who was in your bunk junior year? Do you remember? Like what the split was?
Ben, Dennis, me.
Eventually, Apple.
Apple eventually was in that bunk.
Billy.
I don't
Billy
think that's Nash. True. I think I was on the side with you guys.
You were there.
That's a good word. You were on the side, right?
So it was me, Ben, Billy.
Was that
where we
were
on
our side?
Ben,
Dennis.
No,
Dennis.
Wait, we're all talking.
You, Dennis, and Billy. You, Dennis, and Billy were the
and Ben on that side.
And Ben, for sure.
Ben was on that side.
Yeah.
Too near. Then I don't know. Then my memory would be wrong. Right, sorry, Ben. I had you right in one spot.
Grubby wasn't with you guys.
So at some point in the summer, I actually moved bunks.
And that one was the Philly. The Philly year was freshman, was junior year?
I don't think they were
there. The first year the Philly kids came?
Yeah, they were there.
Were they?
That was the first year we had a full bunk of Philadelphia kids. Mischer, Dubin, Sorkin, Haljanoff.
Who was the first Philly guy? Did they all come together?
I mean, Dave was from Brooklyn, but the Brodies were from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't think they had anything to do with the Brodies, all those.
No, I don't know. I don't know who started them coming to our camp.
All right, but somebody did.
Because, like, David Dubin was older, but he wasn't with them. Philly contingency.
Michael Dubin
and David Dubin.
We had a solid Philadelphia contingency at Swago.
Yeah, yeah. It got bigger over time.
So you guys show up and you're in your LA, it's pretty populated with who you, but then below that, like,
we were L7.
How does it just thin out? Like, right below that, it turns into, what's the youngest group person at the camp?
Honestly, I don't think we paid any attention to any of
it. I'd say probably
it was until like Cold War.
Were there any new kids that you remember?
Nah, I don't remember.
All right, let's get into this stuff. Let's get into your own thing. Like, so 84 is coming up. It's the winter. You guys are psyched to go back. There's no, like, I don't know what we're in store for because of what happened in 83. You guys are just psyched to be together and do your thing?
Yeah, the end of 83 was a mess, though.
Like, yeah, no, it was.
You know,
I know.
Because I didn't think anybody was coming back. And
no.
I knew I was going to
And nobody really
back.
Left. Right.
My parents worked there.
That's
so.
A good question. How soon did you know that you were at... Like, you could leave there thinking that there's not a chance, as you said, that this is going to go on. What? I guess did it you was know right away?
We came back to camp and it all yeah, kind of we came before back
that.
Together.
Yeah, right? We did before we go back.
Well, like at that time,
Apple had
you were ready to leave.
Right.
Everyone was crying, ready to leave the camp. And right. It was like, oh crap, you know, I got to stay. So what?
Right.
You know,
but that worked out. That was only 48 hours of, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. of scariness.
Drama.
Right, of drama. So you guys come back and is camp cool? Like is the first night like that night where they show you who the new counselors are and what activities are offered?
Yeah, there was the standard stuff, but he left us alone the entire year. Like we had no supervision. We basically did what we wanted. We kind of did one activity, but we'd sit out on the basketball court.
You didn't do anything.
Was the year before, right? Jeff
Buckley was the year before.
So who was the head counselor?
I don't even remember. We were talking about this. We don't remember one counselor's name from that year. They're not memorable.
Not your head counselor, a leader, or counselor?
Craig wasn't back there.
Craig wasn't back, no.
Craig didn't come back?
Craig did not come back there. No.
The camp was empty. It just felt, I think, just like us just hanging out like this big property.
And so we were...
like that. Well, but I think we don't remember very well what's
going on. We were L7. Yeah, it was Jake... and Schlattner, they came back as third-year seniors. Like, we had a whole contingency of L.A. that was third-year seniors.
Came back as third-year seniors?
To be color war leaders again.
And they were with...
Schlattner wasn't the first time.
Schlattner was
a bad shaft, by the way.
Weren't they with Phil Weiss?
The year before.
He was a leader.
Like, oh, yeah. That was 84, but in 83 he wasn't.
Right. They took the less popular kids, Bunk, and they moved him in with the third-year seniors into L.A. So they broke the L.A. tradition... and they took all of us that were supposed to be in L.A. and put us back in L7.
So you guys weren't even in L.A.?
The worst bunk was L.A.
the worst bunk was L.A.
that year.
So who's in L.A.? Who's the L.A. guys?
So it's the third-year seniors who would come back.
Jacob Schlattner.
I don't know
if
and then you had the kids that were normally in the far-end bunk.
The ones that were with me in junior year.
Those guys leapfrogged right over us.
Les Butler.
They became the second-year seniors.
No, Les was younger than us.
All right.
He was younger. You remember one other person in that bunk? I mean,
Phil Weiss, I think. Was
Phil Weiss was in that bunk.
He still came back.
He was
unexpected, huh?
Yeah, he was a violent man.
Jack here didn't come back.
Phil the Lovey Baby.
It could have been like, yeah.
That was the year before.
So you guys have enough people to, like, third period, but playing basketball?
Yeah, we could get a basketball game together.
But are you organizing the basketball game, or is it scheduled?
We did a schedule.
How
many
total campers do you think were there?
Was it 60 boys? Is that the number we said?
60 boys?
How many girls were there? 30 on
30. I think it was
probably
were they still up in the
100? No, probably more than that. Totona was more than
the girl.
It became very obvious at Color War when you had to do the Apache Relay, and like every Color War leader had to do 10
events.
12 events, piece.
And then do a leapfrog.
It was a ridiculous thing. You know, everyone had to double up, triple up. And
they didn't cut it down.
You'd have events like Sagamore, and you would like fill just three rows.
No, we didn't do Sagamore.
I'm just gonna make an editorial comment for 1 second. We should have like one person talking at a time, and I feel like I'm guilty of it too. We're all talking over each other. So,
okay.
All right, students.
So which subject would you like to pursue?
Well, let's continue. Alan, ask a question, and then nominate a person to answer it, and then let me.
You know, I used to remember that feeling of when those outdoor events at Sagamore we filled up, and I'm thinking you guys were one row deep. That's pretty sad.
I
need
Mitchell to answer.
We were one row deep.
I have zero recollection of Sagamore my last year in camp.
Did you do intercamp games?
I have zero recollection.
No.
You know what was funny about Sagamore the year here is the year before they made a whole big deal about Mark and Noodles becoming Sagamore and his Brave.
That's right.
And then they didn't come back. it was like this legacy passed down from like Peter and Ricky to Mark and Noodles. No, they never even did it. Because Gil and Ricky were still there. Oh, they passed it on to Mark and Noodles, and Mark and Noodles didn't show up in 84. So I don't know. You guys might have been Sagamore.
No, we had nobody to drive Sagamore. There was no Sagamore.
Stan.
Literally, there was no Sagamore. Right,
did you have a carnival? Did you have square dancing with the girls?
Square, square dancing?
Really? You did. Right. Okay.
Well, that's good.
Did you have...
Yes, it was. We were very proud of that night.
We'll get into that.
No, Schaefer was hand-bone, right?
Schaefer was hand-bone.
Yeah, hand-bone.
Good choice.
How did you sit in the mess hall? Was it just like 60 of you around Sheldon and Stan?
It was one big circle. It was one big rectangle. It was all at the senior end. Everything so we had the senior tables. So everything was from the, like, the middle over.
I just remember the very fresh eggs and corn. That's the only thing I could really
think of. That's hysterical. I guess you could understand how you guys had you guys.
Yeah.
So for whatever else was going on,
who cares? You still had like, not who cares, but like, I'm still going back for that.
Yeah, me too.
This is my last year. My friends are going
to
be.
If I told you there was only going to be 60 guys in Swago, it was going
to
be.
You didn't go to camp to see who the middies were.
No, it's nice that they're there.
Whatever.
Well, I'll give it to you this way: if you went back to Swago with a bunch of guys every year and go on the grounds, would you? Today?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not even about then.
Was it understood at any point along the way that this was it?
Yes.
To you it was. You felt
the camp was just dying. There was nothing. Yeah. There was no supervision. The camp was just open.
You guys were second year seniors too, so it didn't matter. You weren't thinking that hard about it.
No, there was nothing going on.
Liked what you guys had. Which is weird. We would have liked to go back, you know, as counselors.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Oh, we got
it. It seems they were so severe with respect to the, you know, overseeing in 83. Yeah. That it's amazing that they just gave up.
I honestly believe in hindsight.
So maybe they knew at that point in time the camp wasn't going forward, and they're just like, who cares?
Yeah, know? That's what I was thinking. Right. That, I mean, like in hindsight.
Yeah, Sheldon and Stan.
Just what do you
think? Maybe they realized, like, look, this is all we booked in 84. We're losing money. That's that. You know, and they were just like, well, who cares about supervising these kids and creating whatever new traditions we're going to try to create, because we're not going to be here in 85, you know?
You think the writing was on the wall?
Yeah, literally.
Literally, we wrote our names on the wall. It's a famous picture. Our last bunk.
It is.
It's kind of memorable. It's
from Irving Engelman to that. It's like the right. Epoch of Swago.
Yeah. Irving Engelman was what year?
1921.
And it made it to 1984.
It's a long time to not be painted over.
63 years. It feels like it should have been around.
Short
longer.
Life. It's a short life. Yeah, 63.
It's not long. It's not long enough.
What? Yeah.
The life of Swago. 63.
And it would be gearing up for like the 100th anniversary, like in 8 years. You know, it would be. Be a big thing.
Well, relatively, all our kids would be there.
How old were these other camps, like Tyler Hill and Equinox? Are they the 20s or no?
I don't know. I figured they're a similar age.
Yeah, you would think.
I felt like we were older, but that's just.
You felt like Swago like was an older camp.
I felt like had a richer, longer history, but I don't know.
I don't. My guess is
I have no idea.
Okay. But they all were just there. But, well, I don't know shit about this, so why am I even giving you my attention?
Alan majored in this.
Right.
So one of the topics you guys talked about was kind of the brotherly love aspect of Swago.
Right.
And I think as I looked at all the guests, there's always every generation had their brotherly love.
Okay.
Ed Burke and his friends, I think, you know, you guys and Adam and Lenny, obviously, it held right on through to us. Yeah, and in terms of our group, there was
all of that stuff. I mean, you know, we had the same expectation of camp as anyone else. You know, we wanted to be color war leaders. We wanted to be, you know, have all of these things.
Girls.
All our girls are back. That everyone else.
Well, apparently, you guys were very successful in that regard, much more so than any previous Swago.
I'd say that's probably a truthful statement.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So.
These guys more than me.
Oh,
well,
I know.
That goes
very high. That's obvious. But nobody got late at camp, right? I mean,
no.
So.
No. I think everything prior to was
funny.
What's the point?
And in retrospect, it would seem odd to be like getting late at 15 at Swago. Like, that seems odd.
With a nice 15-year-old, like, girl.
And to those who did, God bless you. But to me, in retrospect, it would just seem odd. Like, ooh, the night watchman caught us having intercourse would be odd.
Craig told us, right? He had sex with the virgin nurse.
The virgin nurse.
That was a big
story. Yeah. I did too. That storyteller.
Hey, Craig.
Greg Miller told you he had sex with the virgin nurse.
The virgin nurse. Is there anything more holy?
She's a virgin nurse.
And she's a nun as well.
Listen, you're a virgin and you're going to lose it.
By the racquetball.
Greg Miller on a cot at Swago. That's where it should happen.
No, I don't think it was a cot. It was handball.
Yeah, the handball.
Oh, even better. Oh, good. Much more romantic.
Hands right in that Swago. Just punch at the ball.
I'll never look at that more
the same way. See, you put your right palm on the left or up on the ground.
So this nurse on the Swago side against the Swago handball calls?
That's the image I've got.
You know, Craig knew she was a virgin. This is how you needed to defile her.
What a wonderful way to be defiled.
I want you to give you a memory you'll never forget.
Curious. I wonder if she's ever told the story.
One step ahead of being asked to look at a urinal. Like, what is that?
I was defiled on a handball.
A hand.
Swig, with the Swago sign behind me.
That's it, Swago. So I remember.
I will say, other than possibly the dumb guy.
Yeah.
Your brother's Mark Pearlstein is the only guy I remember being sent to the flagpole for sexual exploits.
By my brother.
Oh, by you?
Really?
You started the chant.
Wasn't it chanting? You were sent up to the flagpole. It was like a morning lineup, I remember.
I'm not sure.
It had to come from your group. It had to come from your group.
I don't feel like I was part of this.
Not sure how to get out of there. It's one of those don't let your kids know what you're doing kind of conversations.
All right, it's all vague right now. But kids be proud.
We were active. Let my kids get older.
You were active. You were an active bunch.
Do your kids listen to this?
I doubt it. You never
know. They have access to it. So
everyone's got access to
it. Our sister went to Sedona. We'll be together for Thanksgiving. Who knows what's going to come up?
Hey, I typed in Ski Slope on iTunes, and we come all right up. We're right, right there.
With the number one result on iTunes.
You know? So if you're happy to
want to take ski lessons or something?
So, guys, if you happen to look for a report on the conditions in Val, we may be fucked right now. We apologize.
It's a good thing we started in the summer. It gave us a little bit of head start.
Get
the ratings. Get our click-through rate.
Right, to get everything optimized.
We're so clever.
Let's do a show about Aspen, Val, Heavenly, and then we'll get right up to the top of these guys. So I always wanted to. Can I switch gears for a moment?
Absolutely not.
How did you feel, Mr. Applebaum? Mm. You know, we talked to Timmy Brody, and we had a really great conversation learning about how he felt with his. I was surprised to actually hear that he took it personally that, oh, David Blumstein, we're pissing on you long. But it's certainly understandable after seeing him do that. What about yourself? You know, your mother was Sheila. Well, how did you feel?
That she bought into that chant we would do, the da-da-da, awesome. That semi-like stripper thing. Right. So, like, you as her child, was that cool? Like, because she was cool. My impression was...
Well, she clearly was cool about
She
it.
Was cool, but in a good way. Like, she wasn't too provocative about it, but she didn't shun it. She had this incredible balance about the whole thing that I thought was very good.
Incredible balance.
That was my take.
Wow.
She didn't show attention. Tell me more.
You know, that's the fine line.
Whoa. Hold on, the mic went flying. All right.
Question.
That,
it was all good.
Is this how she parented?
Pretty much.
Delicate fine line. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right now.
All
right. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back, and we have a show recommendation, actually. It's we try to be very organic here on the Ski Slope.
We don't have an actual box, but we welcome all.
Suggestion box.
So what do you guys think?
What's the suggestion?
Yeah, we want to. We actually would like to listen back to the shows with you and comment like that. Every time I listen,
like directors,
every time I listen, every time I listen to the show, I'm like, oh, I want to say something about that. You know,
why don't you make some notes?
I should have made some notes.
And then you can call in. We have call-in features. We are willing to, we announce on Facebook when our shows are. We'd love for you to call in. But
you know what I thought, though? We should actually have one episode live, where it's just like we announce it, and it's like call in, like they're saying, with questions about previous episodes. And then we'll do our best to answer them, and maybe afterwards get the people that sort of, raise the issue to answer them as well.
For example, what sort of questions do we need answered? Is there something specific?
I think it's more during the podcast. Sometimes you want to
Add
in stuff. Yeah,
exactly. You want to help with observations.
Just add into it all.
Just fun.
You can talk about Popkin is a big thing for me. I didn't know him at all, right? And I have no idea how much older he is than us or whatever.
He's our exact age.
Is it? Same. Thought that with Timmy Brody also. I thought he was a few years older than us. He said he was 46, a year older than me. I'm like, what the hell? I thought he was
four years older than you.
But anyway,
did he look the same with the big red hair and stuff?
Let's call it 7, 8, 9 years ago. And he does look the same, and he looked exactly like he looked 7, 8, 9 years ago, right? He looked
pretty grayer, as we all are.
Because I pictured it for me just like
because his red hair is so prominent. So if the red hair goes gray,
he looked the same. He looked good.
Timmy looks good, man.
He was like the same guy.
Oswego guys look good.
What's with that soft answer?
They all
don't look good.
Well,
Timmy look good.
For the most part, the guys that have come on the podcast have looked good.
So I would have loved...
Much better than your average
everyone has 45. Looked exactly like what I'd expect them to look like.
So there are moments like the Timmy story that I would have loved to have asked a question. Like, I don't know what the question is, but there are moments when you've got really good revelations.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you guys don't do Facebook all that much, but I always think like if we were to sort of announce, here's the episode coming out.
Right.
You know, if you want to ask a question to this guest,
tonight, throw them out there.
Let us know. But
I just don't think people, we've reached that level. I think everyone cares, but they don't. Come on, they don't care that.
It hasn't to put themselves out there.
I was saying about Popkin, like this music sort of lineage of passing down music.
So important.
We had the same thing, and it's the same music. Like for me, I kind of feel like maybe some of these characters were like big brothers to you, or some kind of thing like that. Like, Russ Gewirtz was like that with me.
Gewirtz.
Mm-hmm.
And, for whatever reason...
He was genre behind us.
You guys could almost be brothers.
See, also, I don't know where he fits
he was
in.
One, right? We love Russ and David Allen and Chris Shack. Right, they were one step behind
But they're the guys who, become your... Because they're a group behind you when you become seniors together.
Like we weren't seniors together with them. Like, they were...
Maybe
they were
two or three years ahead of me.
Those guys were into more Joy Division.
Yeah, just we somehow...
There was a weird relationship with him. It was really strange. And then he hurt him years later, and I was very upset about it.
Oh, that's
right. Russ hurt him.
No, but we
Russ did what?
But the point of this was...
He broke his heart.
He did.
I used to go into his book, and he had
part of one of his films.
He had the trunk with the record player and the whole thing,
What?
What's
the fuck happened?
We'll talk about it. I'll bring that up.
Sorry.
Somebody else is going to ask that question on the wrap up episode.
Yes, of this one.
So, he introduced me to the Clash, and subsequently, I introduced the whole bunk to the Clash.
Right.
And it was like that kind of thing. Joe Jackson, Joe Jackson's like our bunk's music.
That's interesting.
And we wouldn't have had that had I not had that, brief sort of thing, where he said, come into my bunk. I was like, L.A. I got invited into L.A.
It's an honor.
We were I don't know.
Do you think Russ got it all from Popkin also?
Yeah.
It had to have been.
Yeah. Those guys left as interns, I remember. Or maybe as first year seniors, early in the summer, to go to a Van Halen concert. That's what they were into. They left camp to go to that, and then they came back, and within 10 days, Van Halen was over for them.
Yeah.
And they were completely British, New Wave, punk, that whole movie.
Really? They just flipped on a dime?
Just flipped on a dime like that, yeah. But like Alan said, they were a little bit different than us. We were sort of Clash.
We did the same thing. I was listening to Asia and Journey, and then I was like, "What? Who's this Clash?"
Well, it's amazing, particularly the Joe Jackson album, how much that... Particular, Look Sharp.
It was huge.
It resonated huge throughout the camp. Joe Jackson,
Look Sharp, was the Swago album, right?
Right.
Well, it's an unbelievable album, but it's interesting that it became the album to so many people.
How did that become the phenomenon within our camp?
We did it in our shows.
Is she really going out?
Talent shows.
We're talking about me and Dana.
Exactly.
Great album. Start right there.
But did you guys know it was that popular until right now? I mean,
it wasn't
outside
that
of our...
Semi-popular. I mean, it's funny. It's almost gotten retroactively more popular as time's gone on, which is... nice sort of.
But you think it was popular with Tyler Hill?
No,
it's a Swago album.
No,
that is a Swago album.
But I didn't realize, it seems to me, from listening to the podcast, that the genesis of all of this is Popkin.
It's Popkin. Popkin.
And I'm shocked. I feel like I'm a music guy. I go out and see music all the time. I play music. Music is my thing. That guy blew me away.
He's the grandfather of Swago music,
Pretty cool. And that was one of these things that I would like to make a comment.
Just
send the question to Steve, and he will respond.
Yeah,
I can assure you of that.
Yeah, but he's on our episode, we said it. He's the guy so responsible for all that stuff, and then he defers because he'll say, "Well, it's also Eddie, Eddie Mormon,
right,
was more into the more American part of that scene, which was the Ramones, Talking Heads to some degree, and Alex Swedler too, because that was that little
Alex
bit of Counselor influence.
I would say that Alex Swedler probably took it more towards Talking Heads.
Right.
That's where he went.
Right, but there was a little bit of that. Okay, there's somebody who's in their 20s that are into this too. I forgot what the story was
with Russ. There was something I heard that he was directing movies or something like that.
Well, they wrote
a road movie. So I wrote him a quick email. I felt like a proud, you know,
right.
parent kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, hey, that's awesome. And his response was some, like, dick thing to me. Like, a quick...
Really?
Like a
he dick thought because he'd be more. Quick and not be dickish.
No, that's what happened.
Yeah. No, it was dickish.
Really?
Yeah, like, I was kind of...
Like fuck oh. you?
No, no, not that dickish.
He's had a dick
not that dickish. Like, where, like, you know, I wasn't being, like, Billy, you know...
You're right.
A sycophant, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, suck up to him and try... I literally, you know, looked up to him. Like, I was
yeah,
a
no,
little kid.
Funny. I remember you guys almost sort of
something?
Being yeah, brotherly and, thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I really, you know...
Sarcasm doesn't work in email.
This was yeah,
it's
not sarcastic at all. Yeah,
that's
clear.
Why you have the winking emoticon, which guys
right.
shouldn't use anyway.
Exactly.
Right. Wink at me if you
want. What happened? Right. Just you know, sarcasm should be so blatant.
No,
that
I don't remember
sarcasm.
Exactly what it was, or even forget exactly. I don't even remember close to what it was. But
yeah,
it was
yeah.
it was definitely
David Allen though. He hasn't broken your heart, right?
Russ,
no, David Allen, man, no interaction.
Yeah. And
was that his brother that used to kick
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
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 That has to be the greatest athletic achievement of all Swago history.
That was a pretty good ultimate.
To walk on and become
all the time was
the Shield goal kicker at Ohio State.
It's a pretty good football program.
Huge. Yeah. Number one.
I didn't even know that.
You know, 10 years.
And the cool thing is, like, he practiced like on our little shitty football field that we never played football on. Like, that's where he would practice, and he would drive us. He'd say, will you hold for me? Because we didn't have a tee. So you had to hold the ball.
Yeah, there was one summer where like, he was ever. Just always on the soccer field kicking.
You
right.
can't even think of a close second to that.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
I think Pearl was good at basketball. That's about the close second.
Well, it's funny. I brought up Chris Mangialuso because I remember he was sort of in the intercamp thing. He was a good hockey player. But I'm like, did he even play college? Like, no.
That was at camp. And that was hockey on I'm
running
around, sport.
Black tie around,
yeah. whatever it was.
That's the only hockey I've ever played.
Oh, I love that.
I've never played on ice. My hockey experience is on like you know tennis court number six.
You hear a good story about hockey that you know Apple.
Yeah, that was my only good sport.
I'll tell it for a moment. Apple was a very unathletic kid, no interest, didn't care. But he went to camp and he had to try every sport. So he played hockey and he became very good at it and liked it. And that was his little speech for his kids to go to camp. And try things.
Wow. Oh.
Right?
That was, what? I didn't know that's what I was out there.
You know, after winning 6 Stanley Cups.
How many years out of camp did that motivational speech go? Did they go
my
for
kids
a year?
Actually went, it's really funny because our bunk was so... loved camp, and none of our kids had successful camp. None of us. Like my kids actually
time.
Did. My kids are older at this point. They're 16 and 19, but they went to camp for years. But it was a different kind of camp. It was like kind of college. You know, you picked your things, and you know.
No swing.
Every time they did something or said something about the camp, I'm like, what the hell kind of camp is that? You know, like,
yeah, it's not working.
Camp. You know?
No, it was a big disappointment for me too. My kids, I mean, they liked their camps. It wasn't like they hated it, but I could tell it wasn't the same.
Yeah, I didn't care if my kids went to college. I just wanted them to go to camp.
Right.
Like, you know, like when I had babies, I was like, you know, I don't care if they drop out of high school. They have to go to camp.
Right.
You know?
There are some
it's fundamental.
Our nephew is like we were.
Closest
Alex,
thing I've seen,
loves Equinox.
Loves his buddies.
Loves his buddies from there. He's a counselor or whatever.
My nephews go to Equinox now, so you've been talking about that too. Like I went up to visiting day this last summer. It was kind of fun.
It's going on. Everything's very active.
You know? Yeah, that was kind of fun. It was actually like I saw. You know,
oh, you actually did.
Vicky Saunders was there. You know, it was fun.
Well, Equinox is probably the
I saw Mark
the
first
Swago
there.
Yeah, I think I saw him there too.
Yeah,
years ago when Burke went back.
What other camp is like a population like that of Swago children?
Tyler Hill still. It would be weird to send your kid to Tyler Hill.
Can't do that.
Tyler Hill has a different quality.
Well, it's all changed now.
Yeah, obviously. Girl boy thing.
The girl boy thing is
it was military, wasn't it? Like it was.
It was that rumor.
Not military,
it was
strict. Just like we made it out to be that it was something different.
I know we had
military.
Our own rumors about what time.
Not military strict. They were like a disciplined.
I just remember it being. I thought a little Jacket. More hoity toity.
Yeah. Like we used to say, like I had air conditioning in the.
Yeah, I just couldn't get over that girls would. You'd be playing softball and girls would just walk by. It was like, what? That's not right.
something's not right in that, in the universe.
It really wasn't. I mean, it was a weird isolation that they did keep you from the girls until you were like 16 and go every night, you know?
Yes.
You had a social, like, on Thursday night. That was it.
I think it was
and, or maybe a brother or sister if you had a
it
sister.
It created an anxiety that was healthy. Right?
It was. Wanted to see and them. Even sort of, like, we haven't spoken about this, but even, like, the young, like, when you're a junior or an eagle and, like, they fix you up, like, the counselors fix you up with your girlfriend, and you have that.
It's a square dance.
It's the square dance. Well, the square dance came.
Square
dance.
Great
mixer.
And
social. Did we have social?
I remember dating the girl that I held hands with. Like, we barely even spoke.
Right, but it was like,
you
want to go out?
We dated for a week or two. Whatever that was, you know? Like,
right, it
went out.
It was a great setup. Because that's all they were there for. Like, all you were there for was to go out with them, and all they were there for was to go out with you.
No, that wasn't me.
There was no relationship.
You put on your little, like, shirt.
No, dressing up for that whole thing. Calling first shower.
Right? You wanted to get the shower first.
Get the shower.
His first shower was big. Ben Goldman used to never.
Oh, at least, like, do our hair. Right?
We all did. Everyone had, like, that blow dryer. It's like, really?
Wow. It's a big deal. That was part of the anticipation.
Right.
And it was a great way to punish kids.
We
losing
went up
social
early.
Was huge.
What is it? We basically just went up to the canteen and we'd sit there, they'd sit there, you could go buy some candy and that was it.
But not even. I mean, these guys had the square dance in their formative years. But it was more or less like the counselors did the fixing up from what I remember, like younger on. They would just sort of bring up somebody.
At younger ages, because you had a square dance.
Younger ages, right.
For square dance
with a partner.
Yeah, but even. We had a few years before square dancing. I don't think we square danced until we were into
stuff to do. You, hey, Howie, come to
I remember going out with Wendy Gold as an eagle. There's no way I just walked up to her and was like, hey, babe.
It had to be
square dancing. Than you thought.
Square dancing was the first social of the year.
Yeah, for you guys, but not for you. Square dancing didn't start until like 78, I think.
Yeah, we
79 years.
Gotcha.
Once it started,
I didn't realize
it
that.
Yeah, it was perfect square dancing.
And then square dancing became a practice the day before.
We loved it.
And then the square dance the next day. I was the morning and the night.
So is that what you guys would do? You'd get your square dance partner and then go out with them? Is that the plan?
That's what I
did. Well, we kept girlfriends, retona girlfriends between summer, like over the winter.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like Lisa, Jill, I mean, a bunch of us did. Dennis
did.
Maybe I did.
All right, maybe I was the only one.
You didn't tell me that?
But we used to do pretty fun things with the girls. Like, we had mattresses out.
Yeah,
we brought mattresses. During the day, we took mattresses from the midi bunks
that were closed.
And we brought them out onto the golf course. We brought them out onto the golf course.
Okay.
And then, you know, in the middle of the night, I had the girls meet us
on
the golf course.
We changed the whole thing up.
We had, like, mattresses.
Your girls.
Ready and waiting.
We'd get them.
Yeah.
We'd get the girls.
That's what was going on.
The hill was where they were finding us. So they'd run the car up to the hill. They never thought to look on the golf course.
Sure.
So we were on the golf course while we were on.
We didn't go to camp because there were, you know, 150 boys there. We went to camp.
60
boys. There were 60 boys, girls there.
But the girls were all there.
Yeah.
That's why we went
Our
to camp.
Our entire girls group was back.
So that's what it was all about.
So you guys see your girlfriends from first year senior year to your second year senior year?
No, we swapped. No. We had a lot of girlfriends at camp.
Swapped. That was the very 70s.
I'm going to trade. You're going to win the wins.
Now, you and I never crossed
Candace
Bergs. Girls. No, we never did that either.
It's a good idea to bring the mattresses out to the golf course, though.
Maybe you should have done that.
I don't even know if Johnny Eunice did that.
All these other guys on here talking about, you know, making out on the hill. Yeah, we did that.
We had seen
everyone did that.
That was it.
Kids stuff.
We were very generic, our group.
We had seen your play. That was the one tradition.
I was in Popkin, maybe.
Yeah, right?
What was our play? Was it Grease?
Appa was the lead in Grease. We had seen your play. Senior play was the one tradition.
It was Grease?
We did Grease.
Oh, that's a good one.
Grease Lightning.
And you were the lead?
Yeah.
Wow.
Zuko, man.
That's really? Weird. Did you guys have enough people? Well, were like duplicating roles?
And that was the night?
I'm Danny Zuko and the janitor.
I'm playing Danny Zuko and the janitor. We'll be back out.
It wasn't the senior play. It was the whole Camp Swago.
Was he talking to himself?
Right. That was,
he got the mirror up.
Was Lucille back? As the play director?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Because remember the tirade she had in 83? We didn't get into that. They stopped the senior play.
Stopped
right?
The senior play.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Then we redid it out in the canteen.
Tell me again what happened there.
83.
Lucille pulled,
she pulled the
curtain with like 10 minutes left to the play. Like right as we got
to
pick out. John O'Donnell walked out and he screwed around. She was telling us no screwing around. John O'Donnell comes out and does some like funny dance. It wasn't even that bad. And she says,
it wasn't even that bad.
Pull the curtain! Pull the curtain! The entire play ends.
Is that the first 3 seconds that a production did not make it to fruition?
It had to be. And the funny thing was, I remember Sheldon was like in a tuxedo. And he invited friends to see it.
He went to the whole thing.
That was
the favorite
time of the year. That was Guys and Dolls.
LaCroix Foster.
We didn't finish Guys and Dolls? Wasn't that the show?
Yeah, it was Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls, they stopped. And we finished that. We finished it in the canteen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's funny. I'd forgotten about that. You guys actually said, you know what? And there was like an announcement, like, we're going to continue it at the canteen.
Right.
Fantastic ending.
Sheldon. I'm just glad I have a memory of
A3. I'm glad you remembered something.
Would you guys ever have Sheldon on?
Yes.
About that. Yeah,
we talked about that.
We would.
I don't know if he'd want to.
Or Balkan, I thought about as
interesting.
You know?
That's tough. That one's tough.
And Jeff Balkan, if you're listening, although I
thought he was going for a tough time, like in his life.
You know, it's funny you mention him, because I didn't realize, and I've heard the story so many times until like Lenny and Adam were telling it on the Ski Slope, that what a weird phase... Like he was, like he was just sort of the catalyst for everything. Yeah, it was just a dick.
He fucked up
Jeff Balkan.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't Sheldon. It was this guy Balkan.
Yeah, he was a really bad.
He was a militant kind of like, you have to do this, you have to do that.
And even the slope sitting, like you can't sit on it, but you can sit 1 inch from it.
Everything about it.
Yeah, like, I would have him on.
He lost it.
Right, it'd be great to have him on and be like, yeah, I was going through a tough time.
Yeah,
like, drugs.
Yeah,
exactly. Coke. Right. Yeah. It was a bad time for me.
He was just a squad leader.
Allegedly.
Sheldon.
I don't think so.
No, it seemed like he was going beyond.
What do you think?
He had a set of issues.
Absolutely. I don't think Sheldon had anything to do with it.
Sheldon was not.
It wasn't about the ski slope. He was trying to impose his, you know,
his will.
His will
on us. And like, you know, I'm going to show these guys who's in charge. And that was his kind of thing.
You don't think there was a director?
Not only was he a dick, he looked like a dick.
He did look like a dick. He looked the part.
And his son was not looking like a dick. His son was a nice kid. Everyone was nice to.
I didn't even know he had a kid.
Until
they said, like, yeah, no, we were playing Capture the Flag, and they were like, all right, we'll be cool.
It didn't really look like it was his kid, quite frankly.
All right, well, that might be an issue.
My favorite line from my favorite line from the insurrection was Holtzman, that he's like, if he would have stopped me going into the canteen, it would have gotten physical. That would have been fucking awesome.
Right? Holtzman and Ball.
Holy shit. He was ready to take it to an extreme level.
No, Holtzman was like the ultimate hero.
But he was militant. He was at a point where most of us probably were not willing to go.
No.
He was ready to
fight. He's at a whole other level.
He was a man. But you guys made me realize one thing about it. The other side of that, in some degree, was Jeff Jacobson. In a weird way, that like Holtzman was ready to get militant, and Jacobson just wanted to win the basketball game.
Right.
Yeah, and you guys made me see that, because I've seen Jacobson over the years. Like, he didn't go to our reunion. I'm like, Jacobson, why didn't you go to our reunion? That was a blast. He's like, you know,
the Swagger one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so my point like being, like, he wasn't bleeding green.
He should be a guest.
I don't know. I think so. Like, I think it's probably more that he might have felt like...
You know, but... And I also think it's hard to... Like, I even say this about, like Gellert.
Like, they came back for a third year.
Like, all the stuff that he went through. And he was, like, 25 years old. And it's like, you know, he was a kid. So, like, how much can I chalk up to... You know, him just being that way. And Jeff Jacobson,
so
too, like 15. He wanted to play basketball. It's like, I understand, but I can't, like, you know... Point the finger of blame and say...
But you guys had a whole plan, like, 10 of you. And he just totally said no. Basically.
But they were all kids.
I didn't have a plan. My brother was kicked out, so I was like, all right, well, you kicked him out. It doesn't seem really fair. I'm going.
But all the kids were part of the plan. The only kid that wasn't part of the plan was Jacobson.
Oh, he was?
Well, everybody else was going along with the plan.
I thought the rest of the
team. I mean, he was the one like, right, no, we got to play.
Well, I thought the rest of the team was sort of like, yeah, if we can beat them, then...
It seemed like Jacobson convinced
that. It happened to be a very good negotiating point. It's a logical thing to say.
I didn't see it that way.
Yeah, because everyone was scared to do it, let's be honest.
There was also a weird dynamic. There was a weird dynamic of, like...
That choose a side.
Lenny, Meisner, and Holtzman, like, sort of in that whole thing. And... You know,
because they were the true L.A.'er. I mean, those are second-year, senior L.A.'er guys. Like, you're going to...
Yeah, like...
Jeff Jacobson wasn't.
When we combined with them that year, when we were all seniors, when we were first-year seniors or whatever, and...
That's a good combined group.
Second and third.
Yeah, but at the beginning, it was the same kind of thing. Like, they wanted to, you know, show everybody that they were, and they gave wedgies to every person, right. All, the entire group, like.
They
like,
were serving
and Holtzman,
their authority.
It was yeah, sort of, authority. You know, Liebner would sit there, and then, like, Holtzman would go out as the goon, and, like, you know, and literally, like, yeah, and, you know, give every single one in our group a wedgie, and hang the underwear on the, you know, on the rafters. And so,
it's a new tradition.
Yeah, so, you know, there was a whole dynamic that needed to be massaged into what right. turned out to be, you know, a cool thing.
And you guys were you guys good with the wedgies, or was like,
no,
you know, hey,
who's
good with the wedgies?
It was a stupid thing. It's like, to come into L.A., you needed to have a wedgie to enter. It's like, for once, and then you could come into L.A. freely. It was like a stupid thing. So you went in and you got your wedgie.
It's a little sophomoric.
Yeah. It was
a
bit.
It seems
of,
to be bringing LA down a notch.
It was.
Yeah. Well, need to say.
But everything mellowed out, which I think
that was a really fun year. Though I mean, I think those guys had a great time. I mean, I think
until they got
I
tossed,
it was like,
they got fun.
Like their favorite year.
Right? No, well,
also,
it's the most memorable.
I don't know. It's the favorite show,
right? Like after we got in,
probably
because
like
it was not
even Adam says when they came back and they were treated like, you know, heroes. It was like, it was better than normal.
But think about Swago. It's not that year. Swago was kind of all the years up to that that made you fight for that. Swago was the brotherly love, the playing sports, the...
You know, maybe I'm wrong then, but I think like 30 years after the fact, though, like that's the year that it's talked
memorable.
About and discussed and laughed about, so, you know, probably goes down as the favorite, I guess, you know? Right. I don't know. I think your second year, senior year is going to be a favorite year, you know, regardless.
We had great
How about you guys?
It wasn't our most famous, my favorite year.
Mitchell, talk about that. Mitchell was there for how many years?
Nine years.
Shafted.
The last shaft to swing.
No, talk about like major shafts. This kid was like, you know.
Who were the leaders for a year? Did you say?
Me, Apple, Schlatter, Jacobson.
John Rosen, who he brought to the camp.
Yeah,
and was still there for 3 years, two years.
Great athlete, though, John.
No, he was definitely like a straight arrow, like, you know, like did his thing.
He wasn't like Mr. Hoopster, though, was he? He wasn't like...
No. But he tried hard. Like, that was the thing.
Who was number six?
Was it Goldman?
Ben.
Yeah,
of course.
So Schlatter took my spot a little bit.
Ben, forgotten a couple of times here.
Ben!
If you forget anybody else, who's head counsel?
Ben Goldman. Irish Kevin was our group leader. We did establish that.
It's interesting.
It's a painful thing. It really
See, Schlatter, it was me, Schlatter.
I can rationalize it a little bit.
All right. I want to get into a shaft.
Oh, yeah, go.
Well, I'll talk about my shaft for a moment. I mean, it's really painful to this day.
But no, it's gotta be. Like, I think the people that do get shafted.
Do you shave it?
I think people that do get shafted, it carries with you.
Yeah,
right?
You like, feel like is it me kind of thing.
Right.
But
six other guys.
I'll give you my rationalization.
Do you carry your shaft everywhere?
I love my shaft. My wife's a big fan of my shaft.
That's good.
So, I mean, I think if you knew me in camp, I mean, I didn't hit puberty until I was like 16.
Well,
so
I understand.
So that was the first one.
Was it that early?
So I was like a little immature, silly buffoon.
And you had the haircut too. That was like the 11-year-old.
Like
yeah, the bangs.
There was no
maturity. You and John Liebner sported that.
A little bit, yeah.
The feathered hair.
Was he
not even feathered. It was just like a straight line.
So he was never a leader, right? He never made it.
No, he didn't
make it.
That makes me happy in some way.
It's the haircut.
So is that a Schaefer being shafted?
No, but we know why Schaefer was shafted. There was a specific reason.
I can imagine.
Talk about that moment of question that Schaefer was
shafted. No, but he was more of a leader. Like, I had no leadership qualities. I was you know, 4'11", just regular little kid walking around. I mean,
what's the problem with that?
Yeah. But Pearl, you know, Apple looked like this when he was like 10. That's my big joke. I mean, he reached puberty, he was like 9, and he was like, you know, the man. So whatever.
Why
so
an Apple is similar to that.
Puberty and the Eagles, baby. That's where he's at.
It took you that long?
Why with the razor?
So that's my rationalization.
It's funny. Anyway, so where were we?
So it hurts. It hurts.
Shaft.
Yeah.
Shaft.
Yeah, and eight years is a pretty good legacy.
No, but he
too.
Was really, you know, it's not even about the qualities of being a leader. Like, he went there for 9 fucking years.
It's like
years,
a fucking major
rise. Yeah, like, and how do you not, you know, how
well,
do you
said
not.
Said that he was a weak candidate.
Yeah, but
then you can also chalk it up. Did you chalk it up at all to, like, well, it's Sheldon and Stanford.
There were fucking 30 kids. Like, what did it matter?
But it's not like Rosen.
Guys, but no, there was your big group, though.
Wait, Rosen was a good athlete and all, but it wasn't like you would say, well, Rosen's a definite candidate. At that point, he also was like 4'12.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He was nowhere. I mean, it wasn't like he was. But it's not like you would say Rosen was like an absolute candidate for a leader,
right?
But you did nothing to blow it. I mean, there are traditions.
Yeah,
right. You go
right,
back,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And they made Jacobson a third year.
You guys compete,
which
in
was a little odd for us.
Why did he come back? Did
that's
anyone get into
him? Now I'm even more.
Slatner wanted the sweater.
Guys.
Okay, you know, again, Slatner really is sort of like he's overlooked in '83, but like that guy too, like similar to you, he didn't do anything wrong. He was a camper for a long time. Good kid. You know, everyone saw. Everyone
didn't do anything right. Didn't do anything wrong.
Right, right.
That was sort of the thing.
But somehow just got
first year senior leaders. Like, yeah, there wasn't.
No.
In 83?
Oh, Roger was a senior.
Yeah, he was
Roger.
Bruce Glazer.
Roger and Flip
Bruce
were
Glazer.
Seniors when we were first year.
When we were first year leaders, seniors, yeah. They became leaders.
Yeah, that's right, for our bunk.
Oh, that's why I didn't think Flip was in your group, because I remember talking to Flip.
No.
I was like writing
that's
the music
right.
for his
no,
cohort team.
Flip,
I'm like, wait.
Right, Flip was in our, and we were all like, what the fuck is that?
Flip got pulled. And Roger
just because he has a lot of Flip.
You know, he was a good guy.
Well, they shafted Lenny out.
He was. You know, it was the same guy, Flip Pine and Jeff Wilkoff. Are the same person.
Wilkoff?
I could see that a little
right.
bit.
All
right.
A little Wilbur.
He was a leader, right, at some point.
I think so. Did you guys compete in the Wayne sweater. County tournaments? Were you in there? Was there an under-16 basketball team?
I don't remember.
I don't think
we did. Alan and I wouldn't know.
Didn't beat you.
We didn't leave camp.
Wait, we won.
They didn't bring anybody into camp.
We didn't
leave camp.
They didn't have a van. They sold the van.
Seriously, I don't think we left camp once.
I think we started senior B. Is that...
It was a one-on-one between me and Adam.
There was no senior B. It was a senior basketball. It was senior.
No, I think I got to play senior A.
How late was
like
that senior A?
Oh, is that right? I was a leader. I don't think I played.
Could you imagine? You finally get there. It's your senior A basketball game, and you run into the crowd, and it's like...
There's seven boys.
They not be clapping. Like, you know,
with the cans, it's like they can't even fill the second row of the benches that run along the narrow thing.
60 kids in camp.
You got and 20 of them were 20 playing.
Fourteen of
them were playing.
You're dressing juniors.
And 20 of the left of the 40 were too young. They had to go home. They couldn't watch.
What do you mean? It was morning activity.
Oh my gosh, that must have been.
And that's what I was saying. Like the you know the amount of people at camp didn't matter until
Cold War. Yes.
Right.
And then it was like, oh my god, there's really
there like 20 guys here.
You were leading.
I didn't
even notice. Three people deep. You're marching out.
It's like just passing the feather to yourself. Who's doing it? Oh, I'm the one.
The Apache had to be a bitch. Could you imagine getting that shit together and you've only got like 60 people to intersperse them on like 300 events?
Well, they did trim it. They trimmed it.
Yeah, okay.
Probably.
No, I don't think so.
Who would have taken the responsibility to do that?
Somebody. Would have taken like 14 hours.
Was there any Swagel legacy there at all, counselor-wise, adult-wise, other than the parents doing the kitchen?
What was going to say? Was
Geller there?
He might have
been. And he wasn't head counselor.
Marty Levitt?
Geller was head counselor.
Yeah. Oh, well, Levitt was there. Was Marty Levitt there our final year? I kind of remember him being.
He was definitely head counselor. I thought it was the year
before.
83, definitely.
And by the way, Marty was a really good guy.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time at Marty's.
Yeah, because I wasn't an athlete. I actually spent a lot of time in the arts and crafts. I became an architect and a contractor. I use those machines all the time.
Oh, that's true.
But he was actually a really good guy to the people who cared about being with him.
Right.
Like, you think about it. You're in a sports camp. Everyone fucking hated going to arts and crafts and didn't want to be with him. So he was like...
But his vibe was bad,
you,
man. I remember, like...
Yeah, he was like a grumpy guy. But
until he became head counsel.
But
was
if
like
you... No. But that's the thing. If you connected with him, he was totally... He used to let me use the bandsaw. Like, no one else could use it. But, like, I liked
to be
there.
You used the bandsaw?
Of course, you know.
Shit.
You know?
Alan and I have talked about our...
We
made some good stuff.
Applebaum and I were, I think, probably the only two kids in camp who literally made
tables.
You were spiral base, and I was a little wooden table for the side. And we spent a lot of time that summer down there.
I don't feel like I hated
the
arts and crafts shop. I don't think I loved it or wanted to go.
But when you were forced to go, it was like, I'd rather be playing soccer.
Twice the entire summer.
The entire summer? Like, so
much.
It was quite a job. It was 20 visits the entire summer.
No, it's weird. It was Applebaum every day.
It was the two of us.
No, we used to go to photography because our counselor was the photography.
Oh, that's right.
So we would just hang out.
It was a little niche for 60 kids.
No, this was this was years before. This
how many years? How many years was Craig your counselor?
He had the black room.
Junior Ranger Inter.
That's a lot. Like that's a nice thing to get going too. Is to have the same guy.
Years. We lost
6 years.
Yeah.
Was he there?
I had that with Moss.
He was there for a while. He left.
If you have the same, you have like a family. It's like here's our like older brother and
Craig Miller's is one of the longer running streaks.
No, he was like, you know, he was there for a long time.
He's underrated in that regard. Oh yeah, yeah.
Craig was interesting because Craig went to a camp. When he was young, he told the stories that had condoms. Like he was
Monroe, right?
No.
Yeah, but only if using the handball condom.
No, sexually.
Camp, it was Camp Spencer.
Wait, what's the name?
Over by the handball
condom.
Camp Rowe. How's that, Craig?
Camp Rowe.
Camp Rowe.
Camp Rowe. I think that influenced how sexual
it sounds like ankle, right?
It's like semen.
It's like the whole sexual thing. Like very physiological.
Sturgeon, bro.
But I think that influenced our sexual prowess, if you will.
Oh, he influenced
us.
In
you know, told us things. It's funny. Yeah. I guess it makes sense.
No, when you figure out what I was sent to the flagpole for, you'll realize
clearly he's the one that did it.
Craig had it.
We had a real connection with Craig. It wasn't like
Craig would never have done
that.
I sent him to the flagpole,
and that's a special thing. Like we had that a little bit with Moss, like much more, a little bit. We had a lot for 3 or 4 years. The same counselor.
I don't think Moss was teaching you how to eat out.
He was. He was teaching us much more than that. Broader spectrum, maybe not as specific.
He did teach us.
Craig had a great voice and storytelling ability.
And he loved it.
It would go on for an hour.
And
like
play guitar.
I remember being a junior, someone would be like, Craig, how do you finger a girl? And I swear, it was like a 1 hour story of like first. It was amazing. It was very fascinating.
The one I used to talk about.
I think they were listening to
him. I'm really looking at more details.
He used to give us a lot. He really wanted us to grow up.
We would listen to talk radio at night or whatever.
Right.
These guys said Craig Miller.
We got to bring Craig Miller on now. Yeah. Like a sort of sex, I would love to have
Craig Miller on.
Or Dr. Ruth.
He will come.
Where does Craig Miller live now?
Outside of Philly. He's a guidance counselor.
Isn't he Virginia?
It's hard to say. I will say about Craig, I always felt like I made attempts to sort of like get friendly to Craig,
but, you know,
and they were not reciprocated.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting negative.
I always felt like I made efforts to be friendly with Craig, because I was there too, like whether it be as a waiter or a counselor, a second year senior, I guess, while he was there. And I always felt they were a little bit, you know, and it's just my perception. They were a little bit.
You had to stop calling him the Hispanic guy.
Yeah. No, and I get that. You know?
What? That's interesting.
Well, I remember he used to do the
nationality.
He wouldn't put his hand over his heart during the flag raising.
He's half black, half Indian.
Half Indian. Mitchell Kosh is
half
Indian.
Half black, half Indian equals Hispanic in my life. I'm sorry.
See what I said? Nationality man.
You had Tom Pena, who was like his brother, who was
right, right. It's funny.
Tom Pena, Craig Miller lookalike.
Were they friendly? Exactly like.
What? They were very friendly.
Okay.
As minorities in camp, I think there had to be some bond. I don't mean that in a bad way, but how many other minorities?
We've gone out. Our bunk has gotten together, you know, post-Swago with Craig. And like we
went to AC. We went to Atlantic City with him
on weekends.
We've gone to Atlantic City. We went camping. Like we went up, you know.
We did that in the 90s. We haven't done it. We haven't done it.
It was awesome in a while, though.
Camping in a cabin.
We got together last year.
Wood near his house.
Camping in a cabin.
What's that?
Fire.
Did we get wood near Moss's house one time?
Yeah, pretty close to his house.
Didn't we go visit him?
No. No. We weren't sure where
he was. Do you guys know Moss well?
No. We don't really. I know Moss a little bit from driving, but he was the years above us.
Yeah.
Moss, was, Moose. I knew him from because I was young when they were there.
Moss?
Moss, Moose, Mace.
Actually. Yeah. Ricky Lorber.
These guys don't know any of that.
Why is that?
No.
Why? How did you know that?
Because I remember Ricky Lorber had a beard.
Right. So I just said, did Mike Moss have a beard? He said, no, Ricky Lorber.
Right.
He was like, I don't know who that is. But
he grew a beard. I think, I don't know if he had it beforehand, but he was the lead in Fiddler on the Roof. So, I think he had the beard beforehand and he got the role.
I love how Ricky immersed himself in the role.
Ricky Lorber?
Grew the beard.
He did.
He actually went to live on one of the religious camps down on
17.
He's a character actor early.
Method acting.
Method, that's what I'm looking for.
Method acting. Lucille appreciated that. All right, guys.
Guys, for 2 weeks, I'm going to have to go in and just immerse myself in Yashir Benachat over by alright, on that note.
On Yashir Benachat.
Whatever that means.
Alright, we're back.
We're back.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
we stopped talking Jewish camp.
I got something interesting that we didn't get to.
Then say that shit, yo.
Mark's parents actually made an offer for Camp Swago as well. They were another...
Yes.
Tell, when was that?
It was a very, you know, serious thing. Like, at the same you know,
the same time
at the
when
same time Sheldon was
making his
just
offer.
Just on that, you know, it was clear that Dave was.
Were Arnie Heller and Paul Broad earlier?
That
than
was early. That's like 4 years earlier.
Okay,
like,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, this,
so Sheldon,
you know,
comes
look,
along.
My parents had been working there for years. They got along really well with Dave and Rita. There was some kind of conversation about
buying the camp,
passing the camp on, kind of thing, and my parents were ready to do it with the help of my grandfather, my father's father, and they needed a partner who was going to be Stan Feld, and they were going to partner up, and
Stan was cool with it. He was like,
yeah, that was the thing, you know, like
Stan was going to run the camp.
He was going to run the
as he had
camp, the outside, like the part that your parents did.
Similarly,
my parents still did the kitchen and whatever. I don't
maybe
know if they even had gotten
whatever.
That far
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
But it was full on, you know, ready to go. We're ready to make a deal, and Stan didn't have the money, so he wanted to pay Dave off
over time,
which, you know, granted. You know, if I had a business, I wouldn't lend it to somebody so they could use
right.
it to make money. To
particularly
pay me
when
back.
Market conditions are
you know,
as
right.
they were then.
Exactly.
Times.
So, you know, I get it all. But really what it came down to was, from my understanding from my parents, was that it was Timmy's mom, I think is a judge.
Yeah.
Right? She put the kibosh on that deal. Like, Dave and Rita were willing to, you know, play
that
out. And she said, no. Like, We're not getting cash over time. We need to
because Sheldon's deal was
Sheldon
cash.
Walked in with
Sheldon
cash and it was done. It was a done deal.
Right.
You know,
for
listen.
Them it was you know and again I understand that.
Right.
But
it's
but
easy.
Fuck you, Timmy.
It's
your mother.
It's easy.
No,
it's, I can see how it would
from
be
a Swaggle
easy.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
a Brody perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a business.
Even if you're Dave and
Rita. It's business. You know, so.
But you could all right. You could also understand how they could easily be.
They were
convinced
done at that
themselves.
Point. Dave was done.
That whoever they were selling it to was gonna make a good go of it. But they
I'm
really
not even, I'm not even
check.
Sure that that was the case.
No,
I kind of believe
check.
That.
I don't.
Would have been a better show
that they were done.
Tim Brody made me feel better about the whole thing because.
Stan was older as well, though. I don't know how Stan
But he had been
was
running
there.
The camp. He was his partner in the camp for years.
To your Stan's point, still kicking now, so.
Tim did say how that he was into Sheldon because he was going to preserve the lake, and he did know Sheldon as a partner, like as a person who lived around the lake. So it made me at least think that Dave was somewhat thoughtful in selling it to Sheldon. Maybe he made a terrible mistake, but I think he was thoughtful.
I still think the question I need answered, though, to some degree, and I don't know if we have the answer because Tim was...
You didn't want to get into the detail, nor did Arnie.
Did Dave realize that Sheldon was homosexual? And like, how would that impact, without being judgmental again to homosexuals, like how would that impact on his being able to have Swagel be a going concern of being boys into his camp, what
yeah,
have you?
It
like,
seems
it seems
to me right.
like,
you know,
I gotta,
we,
whoa,
we're
I
sort
gotta
of looking
step back
at it.
A second.
We're sort of looking at it as this, you know, like the camp and our feelings and all this thing. I think it was more. This was a business.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
And,
something
and,
years
exactly.
old.
And like,
and he's going to pay me cash.
You know, they're
I'm
done.
Not,
and
exactly.
the family wants
no.
out.
My
and
wife
made
needs
a decision.
To be taken care of.
Right.
I need the money.
You,
I don't have
you would think,
years.
Like maybe
totally
Timmy would
justified.
Have taken
totally
over the camp. And, but since that wasn't happening, since it wasn't
Timmy
going
take over the camp?
Whatever, like since it wasn't going to a family member, it's like we're done. And
I don't play. I
and we want out, you
yeah,
know. And
exactly.
that's
and
my
in a way, it's
of,
like, listen, man.
And
I've been
there's nothing
running
wrong
this
with
thing
that.
Since 1936, I put my heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
I've done the sociogram. I've gotten these guys, even the staff's kids, in the same bunk. You know, it's time for me
right.
to catch
I'm
out.
Not so sure that there was so much thought into, you know,
I think there was
the new owner's sexual orientation.
I know.
You know, it was like
I know.
I
don't know.
You're
like,
coming
in with cash for everything.
Well, thank you very much. And I've had a good run, and I'm done.
That's
fair. That's not what you said.
I know Timmy said that. That they lived on the lake and that they would take care of it.
Well, I'm sure
I
that,
think,
you know, look.
I,
you know.
I think that's nice after the fact. I think if someone had walked in from another lake 50 miles away and said, I love
cash.
This property.
With
and,
even more cash.
We want to do a water ski camp.
Yeah. He would have been the one he loved. And
right. We want to dump pollutants in the camp, but we're going to pay twice as much as Sheldon. Okay.
You know, there's a circular exemption.
They actually had been approached to do fracking about 40 years earlier than everybody
they
else.
They do frack up there, unfortunately.
Now they do. He would actually probably
he would have sold the rights.
Hold on.
He would have sold the rights.
$1,500
No, but for me, my whole life would have been different. And ours. Yeah. But, you know, collectively, this room would have been would have had a different life.
I think a lot of people feel
one little thing. I mean, everyone feels that way. But, like,
I have a question.
Like, think about how tied in we would have been to that camp if my parents had owned that place. It would have been a whole different story.
What after everything?
Exactly.
Square dance band.
And by the way, I just want to bring up. I just thought of it, but we talked about. I don't remember who Popkin went up early and set up his room early. Pearlstein and I, because my parents worked there, we went like 2 days early.
2 days early.
And we got the. He said he didn't care about the beds, but we actually like tested out all the beds, mattresses.
We took it to the next level.
We set up mirrors and fans and
stereo.
The lights switch to the fan, the control.
The rope that was the control to the fan and the light switch
right.
was by
was
our,
over
bed.
Our bed.
So we had total control of our lighting fan at all times.
And this was all set up 2 days before any of the kids
we went
came
to Homestead. We went to Kmart.
I had to comment on that.
Right?
Yeah.
So what was the last night like
sad
was it?
Oh my god, the last night with the girls, we were all over. So we
what just, happened? Like, what's this, set that up a little bit?
Yeah, I hooked up with Jenny Linsky last night.
You did?
Yeah, you're the last man. I might have been the last man with her.
But it was sad. We spent the entire night with the girls. We burned the numbers. We had burning the numbers.
They did that routine.
And we spent the entire night with
that
the
was
girls.
We
were at the last
they, at one point, they tried to shoo us away, but we just ran from them. Like, they knew there was no getting us in the bunks. And we had set up the Frosh, Midi, and Junior bunks. You know, the group leaders who slept in the back? I think you talked about that on one episode.
Yeah.
Those bunks. We had grabbed the mattresses from there that night also.
to the golf course.
I'm just trying to... Was Jenny Linsky the year before?
That was Stacey Nearing that night.
I was with that. I was really.
This man losing track.
All right, I take that back. Jenny Linsky was the year before.
But it was a sad night. I mean, again, I don't think I knew at the moment Swingo was over, but it was over for you anyway.
Like, right.
Yeah, there's no going back. I mean, none of us... And I think we kind of knew. How could we not? I mean, the camp literally...
I don't know if that were the case. If it had... I don't even know how we knew it was closed.
Yeah, when did we ever find out?
Like that, it must have been through our parents or whatever.
Yeah, how did everybody?
Like we would have gone back as waiters.
I guess
his
parents would have gone back.
I was on
85, right?
I would have.
Your parents would have gone back in 85, right?
Oh, I would have owned that place, man. I've been a waiter with my parents.
It's easy, right? Forget second year senior. That's a good gig.
I'm going to take off today.
I don't mean to interrupt. I got distracted for a second, but there was a question I wanted to ask, and I think this is a really interesting, important question. Had your parents purchased the camp, are you so sure our kids would have been at that camp loving it? Our kids didn't love camp.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it because we didn't own fucking Swago? I love camp. My family didn't go there. I'm not so sure that just because
no,
of that,
if you're a camp
it's
a family, it's a whole
no,
different
I don't
life.
Know.
For him, maybe. For Apple, take him out of the equation.
That's his family.
It's a great. I thought about it.
Your
kids
would necessarily love him. I don't know if Burke would have loved camp just because.
Not
I
necessarily,
went to
but it definitely would have promoted
would
it out, to have happened.
Just want to be honest.
He would have had a connection to the owner, which changes the whole vibe of things.
Exactly.
So the main point I'm making is that most of our kids hated fucking camp. So it doesn't fucking matter that none of us.
Why did that happen?
I'm betting on this. I'm betting that Swago was a special place.
I don't know.
You know, I succeeded there, so my son should succeed there. That's what I'm thinking.
We had such high
expectations. And I like that vibe.
It's a special place.
Is that what it was? We had such tremendously high expectations for...
No,
what camp should be like. No, I'm saying for our kids.
Not one of our kids.
Because for us, it was the most monumental decision of our youth.
So much.
My stepdaughter.
Not one of our kids loved camp. That's all I'm saying.
It sucks. But
just
that's why I disagree with
the Dave
analysis of Dave not putting thought into selling the camp, because it seems to us, what you guys have learned through the ski slope, is that Dave put a tremendous amount of effort into running the camp.
Cheers to the ski slope.
No, I never knew this, and you guys didn't know it either. The sociogram, the kids must eat well. You know, Dave spent really a lot of... And Tim Brody's thing... weren't, you know, Dave was, he loved kids. He was a teacher.
Clearly.
He focused on making that a special environment. And for me, as a little buffoon as I was growing up there, it was very insulated and it was awesome. Like, we talk about that year that the insurrection, for us, it was like, oh, the insurrection's going on. Let's go back and play Spit. Like,
no.
We were such an cocoon.
That's not true.
No, let me ask you guys this.
Let me
You could go. My final point is that it was a cocoon. It was fucking awesome. It was secure. And maybe our kids would have liked it because it was super special. So I'm betting on it.
I'm with you. And I also think 30 years after the fact now, if I think back to like my times in high school and junior high and my times in Swago, they're almost, they're equal. Like they're sort of, it's like, okay, there was school and there was Swago. It wasn't like it was 2 months versus 10 months. It's like both are sort of very much on par with each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, you know.
School was just waiting to get the kid.
It was. But even in retrospect now, if I look back at my memories, like Swago and school are basically equal in terms of, I mean, I had a better time at Swago, but yeah, in terms of the time, I mean, you were in school 5 times longer than you were at camp.
There was something about, you know, spending every day with this group of people that,
right.
you know, you couldn't come close to your, that kind of experience at school. It doesn't
right.
matter how long. You could,
right.
you know, you went home shower them. Naked in front of your friends at school. Like, so no, you could go to school with
that's
the same
where,
person.
That's where you
for,
go with this?
You know?
No, but that's the thing. Like, it's
all part of the whole thing. You shit in front of these, but you do everything with these people.
You play sports, sleep,
no,
blah,
sports,
shit,
and you can play sports
shame,
at school.
Maybe.
You play sports at school.
Yeah,
but
right.
the stuff that happens in camp, you're like brothers. You're not friends. You know, like, and at school, you're in a bad mood. You don't invite them over back to your house after school. Like,
right.
Something's off,
camp,
you know.
Deal with
but in
it,
camp,
like, why is
you
crying,
have to, you have to figure it all
it.
Out.
Yeah.
You have to figure it all out. You have to make it work. You know, and there's something so special about that.
It's family.
That connection. That's what
it
I said. You're brothers. Yeah, these two guys are my brothers, you know. And it's funny. We sort of lost our way a little bit, and we came back together.
Later on?
Not that we didn't lose our way, but we weren't as close,
yeah,
you know. You know, ebb and flows kind of thing. But now we're like dying to get together all the time. All we do is text each other, like, when can we see each other? When,
you know
when,
you can see
when
each
can
other?
We see each other?
Right.
At the
ski
slope.
There you go. This is what this is for. This
well,
is
you
awesome.
Guys have,
it is
you
awesome.
Guys have a special distinction
awesome.
Of being the last guys there. It's
the
like
last
Swagoites. Yeah, it's
kind
of
and
crazy.
It was just that, I think what I had said to you about wanting to come on here is that it was just as Swago as it was for any
I
of these other
that.
Characters.
I believe
you
that.
Know?
I
like,
believe
like,
that.
You know, right. It, you know,
the
fact that it was already done
on,
and blah, blah, blah. Like, for us, it was Swago just as much as it was for anybody listening to this thing. It was Swago.
No doubt,
know?
Man.
And we, you know, fucking love that.
We all blue, green, and white.
All right.
Well,
with that,
ladies
and
gentlemen. Gentlemen, to the last Swago boys.
Meanwhile,
I'm up.
Good night, everybody.
Peace
have a wonderful
everybody.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.